the OTV Sports app. Listen to OTV Sports Radio 24/7, plus all your favorite podcasts, including OTV Gold.
Are you a complete rookie?
The OTV Sports app, available to download now from your app store. The OTV Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Hey, Johnny Ward, good morning.
Good morning, Owen. How are you?
Very well. So, in my opinion, there are two different types of football managers in the world. There are football managers who talk about themselves in the third person, and there are football managers who don't talk about themselves in the third person. Filippo Giovagnoli falls into the first camp.
Yeah, is that a bad thing, is it?
I don't know. It's there are plenty of great managers who do that, so it depends what sort of third-person Emmy manager you're going to be.
He's definitely endeared himself, I think, to people at the club and the media over here. You know, he probably had to deal with the questions yesterday about the fact that, I think it was called, he was stabbed in the back or there were knives in the back, because obviously he was coming to a club that was in turmoil, really, and he was probably ridiculed a bit as this guy who coached kids in America, and there was that cap of him, you know, or that photo of him with his cap on at the summer camps or whatever, and take a job as big as Dundalk's, which I think if it were put out to the market would attract a serious candidate. Obviously, he was ridiculed, but he just seems to be a very likable character, and we've now landed in this situation where they're a very probable victory away from getting to the Europa League. So it's been a crazy year in many fronts, but the story of Dundalk getting to the Europa League or otherwise is right up there with everything else that's happened in terms of craziness.
Really, like I guess it is bordering on the, not the farcical, but it's definitely eyebrow-raising when you consider that if they win tonight, there will be only three managers who will have achieved that feat of getting them to the group stages. It will have been Michael O'Neill, Stephen Kenny, and Filippo Giovagnoli. It does kind of jar to put his name in that. But from the way you're talking, Johnny, there's already a good body of work done here where he's got the respect of the fans and of the League of Ireland in general.
Yeah, I mean, they lost to Shamrock Rovers 4-0 at the weekend, which effectively is something of a second team, and there weren't any fans at that game. It would have been interesting to see what sort of reaction there would have been, but I think Dundalk fans were, they respected the fact that he was catapulted into what he apparently told friends himself was a kamikaze mission, and he and his assistant, they're both Italians, they do speak very well, and they're very positive, and obviously we had Shane Keegan on at the weekend, and you do get the vibe from Shane that he the players just do really like the guys, but it's very early days on. I mean, you know, what they've achieved in three or four games is laudable, but in the overall scheme of things, you know, you can't be jumping the gun and saying that this could be a long-term success. It's far too early, and if you isolate Dundalk's form at the minute, they're still way off where they were, you know, in the peak of, say, 2016. But by hook or by crook, they've gotten to a situation where they can kind of save the club from a financial problem, not a problem, but serious financial losses over the last couple of years, partly COVID related. This can basically, you know, wipe out all the losses that they've had and put them on a firm financial footing and probably keep them up there with Shamrock Rovers, because at the moment they've almost exactly half the points tally of Shamrock Rovers in the league this season. It's an unbelievable fall from grace considering they were expected to win the league by most people at the start of the season. They've 18 points. I think Shamrock Rovers have 35. They've fallen a long way behind them. So it's very important for the club in terms of money that they get through tonight.
Johnny, I read a piece this week talking about peak six to Dundalk owners and the focus they want to put on European ambitions above domestic ambitions. So is that a healthy thing going forward, do you think, for League of Ireland clubs? If the likes of Dundalk kind of set aside their chances and their hopes of winning a League of Ireland title in order to reach the group stages of something like the Europa League?
Well, you know, they're capitalist driven, obviously, Shane. You know, and there's nothing really wrong with the way that, you know, Peak operates, and Peak Six operates, and it has a pretty good track record. And it probably maybe gave the two fingers to people in Ireland who didn't for years invest in Irish football, and Peak Six basically came in to show, well, there's actually a lot of money in European football. And you can put together a team in Ireland for what's really a small amount of money in the overall scheme of things. Bear in mind, we're one of the richest countries in the world in which to live. And we've an impoverished football league. And they've looked at the fact that, well, if you get to Europe, you can get, like, you know, it was widely said around 6 million or whatever was the figure in when they got there. And under Stephen Kenny. This year is a bit different, obviously, with COVID, but still it's 3 to 4 million of riches in the Europa League if they get there this evening. And maybe, you know, Dundalk have won leagues. The prize money for winning the league is shambolic in Ireland. So, you know, the manager at the start of the season was Vinnie Perth. He did want to win the league, but arguably, you know, European money is so significant now that for the likes of Peak Six, it made more sense for them to obviously, you know, target this. But in order for them to be doing that, they kind of need to be winning leagues. We've seen the draw Shamrock Rovers got versus the draw that champions can get. So Dundalk's challenge next season is going to be a hell of a lot different. And that's if they get to Europe at all, which itself isn't actually guaranteed.
You mentioned that Dundalk will be favourites for this game, and that's definitely the case. But I guess you have no fans in the Aviva Stadium, and this is a Faroese team, Claxmacar, looking to make their own history in reaching the group stages. I know you spoke on your LOA Weekly podcast with a Faroese football expert, which I'm sure you don't get the chance to do too often. But what will they bring to this game, and are they a threat at all? What, like, how do you expect the game to pan out?
Well, where are you from in Monaghan, right?
Monaghan Town.
So what's the population of Monaghan Town?
Between five and 10,000, I'd say. 5,000, yeah.
So these come from a place like smaller than that again. You know, basically, I think it's a small little kind of port town, maybe the size of 5,000 people, coming from a country itself of 50,000 people, which is little more than the population of Dundalk and its surrounding area. And for them to be at this level is utterly fanciful, really. But to be fair to them, they were to play Slovan Bratislava in the Champions League qualifier. Slovan arrived in the Faroes with players suffering from the coronavirus and basically were given a bye there, lost to Young Boys in Switzerland away, but actually scored in that game. And if you watch their game against Tbilisi, they had 29% possession, but they got 6 goals. And that's absolutely bonkers. They're clearly not that bad. I watched a Faroese team play Ballymena last year up north, and they're not bad. For the population of the country, it's insanely good. It's right up there with Iceland in terms of what Icelandic clubs and the Icelandic national team have done. They're really something for us to completely admire. And Dundalk can't take them for granted, Shane, because Chris Shields is out. And we saw in the cup final last year against Shamrock Rovers, the loss that he was. And I think that brings uncertainty to a midfield area that has been under flux really for well over a year at this stage with injuries and players coming in. Robbie Benson left. Some of the players they brought in have been a kind of a mixed success. I don't care what anyone says, Dundalk are not playing as well as they have been able to play in recent years. If Dundalk were taking on a decent first division team in the FAI Cup at the moment, they wouldn't be bankers to win. And as such, tonight against a Faroese team that's well put together and is punching above its weight and will realise the possibilities that is presented to a team from the Faroe Islands, they can take it for granted. I'd have to advertise that a lot.
Yeah, it's remarkable, actually, their story. I mean, a huge section of their starting team are from that little town of 5,000 people. This isn't some like big money project where, as you say, brought in a lot of Icelandic players or something like that. This is actually quite a homegrown, quite a tale for other countries as well, where with the right investment and the right facilities, it's incredible what you can do. How will Dundalk deal with that favourites tag? You obviously touch on the complacency there, but in European, voyages of old, and the last time they were there, it felt like an upset every time almost, or at least they were overcoming the odds. Tonight, they'll need to hold their nerve more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at some of the other ties tonight, Dundalk have absolutely landed on their feet here. And for Dundalk to be favourites at this stage of the competition is obviously very, very unlikely, but that's just the way it's kind of fallen this year. I think the Dundalk squad, they're a brilliant bunch of players. I think, you know, even if they went into that game tonight and they had a new management team put together at 2 o'clock today, I think the players would be able to come together and say, listen, we have a major opportunity here. We've come through a lot in Europe. And as has been pointed out, when they beat FPH from Iceland in that amazing run in 2016, they weren't overly impressed. Now, FPH were quite decent, but you can sort of stumble your way into into the situation they've gotten in tonight. In fairness to them against Sheriff as well last week on, they were 1-0 down. And mentally, that's not a good place to be in a strange part of the world. 1-0 down away from home and haven't had a pretty bad campaign in many ways, and they came through. Their penalties were unbelievably polished for a team that, you know, could have mental frailties. So I think this is a strong body of players with a strong CV in terms of coming through you know, tough ties in Europe. The only issue they have tonight is, you know, if should they fall 1-0 down, they're playing a team that's basically going to park the bus, and Dundalk will know they'll be vilified a bit if they don't get through, because it's a massive opportunity. I think Shane Keegan has played a key role. You could actually write you could, if you wrote a book on Dundalk this year, you'd definitely give a chapter to Shane. You know, he was let go by Galway United, who were relegated, maybe a bit unlucky, but his managerial career was all over the place, really. He went into kind of, he's doing other work. He took on a role as opposition analyst with Dundalk, which is a big enough role, but not that big in the overall scheme of things. Alan Reynolds has left, John Gill has left, Vinnie Pertz has left, Shane is still there. And he's that kind of go-between, I'd imagine, between the Italian guys and the players, because they respect Shane and they know what he's about. And he would have played a massive role. And I think he'd be important tonight as well. He would have been important in Transnistria. And ultimately, I think the players have too much experience, too much quality and too much mental fortitude to let tonight slip.
Are they going to do the business, Johnny?
Yeah, I think they will. Just purely from a selfish point of view from the players, a lot of them are out of contract as well. You know, I presume there are bonuses for them to get through. There are massive incentives even beyond football. They need, you know, a lot of them have families and kids and they've lived to live. They really could do with the professional, you know, bonus of getting through to this. And I think they will, you know, really on form own, they should do it. But it is a potential banana skin. But I think if they go 1-0 up, which I expect that they will, I think they'll win comfortably.
And how are they going to fare in the group stages then if they get through?
That is a big question. On their form this season, it won't be pretty at all. I mean, they've problems up front as well. You know, McMillan has come in and maybe hasn't been quite as sharp as understandably as he was when he was there before. He's 31 now, albeit scored a massive goal in Andorra. Patrick Hoban, at this level, it's tougher for him kind of because there's so much running. And his record in the league is really, really good. But, you know, it's not as easy for him to get goals at this level. He'll play a big part tonight. But I think they don't really have many options up front other than that to bring in the group stages, like the likes of Kieran Kilduff that they had in 2016. Midfield is still a problem. Defensively, they haven't been as good this season. So I'd have major fears for them in Europe. But the one thing is, if they get there, they'll get confidence from that. And they still have like Patrick McElhenney, they've Duffy, they've Kolovic, they've Hoban, who will score goals in Europe. They have some very good defenders. You know, Gary Rogers has been a mainstay at this level. Sean Gannon, excellent. They still have the players there. You know, even their left-back situation is very strong. It's just they've had such a turbulent year. You have to really outperform in Europe to compete at the group stage. And remember in 2016, Dane Massey heads the ball against the crossbar and Tala against Zenit. If that goes in after three games, halfway through the group, they're going to top the group with Zenit, Alkmaar and Maccabi Tel Aviv. If they get through, this is going to be a completely different story. But to be honest, it is kind of bonus territory given the year that they've had.
All right. That is Dundalk tonight. We'll check in, hopefully, if they're the victorious tonight with Shane tomorrow morning on OTB AM.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.